Shall we turn to the book of Malachi? We read Malachi chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. And it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, 'In what way have you loved us?' Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord. Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, 'We have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places,' thus says the Lord of hosts. 'They may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, 'The Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel.'" This is the word of God, and we're continuing in the book of Malachi. We did an introduction, we did an overview, now we're studying it verse by verse. Today we will do verse 2 to second part of to verse 3. Verse 2 to verse 3. That's what we're going to do today. But before we continue, we see verse 1, it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." This is God making a complaint. God has a burden. God has the words to people of Israel by his prophet Malachi. The Lord has complaints about the false worship which was happening in Israel. The Lord has complaints about indifferent leaders. The priests or the leaders who were there, they were indifferent. They were not serving God as they were supposed to be doing. Ezra had given them constitution, the law or everything, how they were supposed to do things as priests, they were not doing that. The Lord has complaints about the people of the land being half-hearted. They were not committed to God. And the Lord has a complaint about divorcing and remarriage as people were leaving their wives to marry other women. And the Lord has also complained about social injustice in the land. They were selling people for gains. And also, the Lord has a complaint about the way of offering. The offerings and tithes, they were not doing it as God wanted them to do. They were doing as they wanted to do, but God has a complaint about it. And the Lord announces the coming of the messenger, John the Baptist, and also of the Lord Jesus Christ later on. But in verse 2, it begins with a message by reminding people about his love. God reminds people about his love towards them. He says, "I have loved you." And today's message, the title of the message, is the love of God. The love of God. That's what we'll talk about today. Malachi chooses a method in this book of question and answering. So he asks them, and then he says something, and then he answers himself to show the hearts of the people he was dealing with. The Lord makes a statement here: "I have loved you," and you see the second part. It says, "Yet you say, 'In what way have you loved us?'" This is probably that God was disciplining these people. They didn't feel the love of God. They didn't acknowledge that God loved them anymore because they were going through pain. Or it could be that people were just indifferent. They didn't care about love of God as we see today. People don't care about love of God. It could be both ways, that they're going through pain, or some of them were just didn't care about what God had done to them. And this is a natural reaction for people. You and I, when we are being disciplined, we think most of the time that the one who's disciplining us doesn't love us. We think that we are being punished because this person who's disciplining us hates us. It's few times or maybe no time when somebody is being punished or disciplined, rebuked, and that somebody feels like, yeah, he's doing it out of love. This person loves me so much, that's why he's disciplining me. It's never the case. If it happens, it's not that common. And we see that heart for people of Malachi's time. God is telling them that I have loved you. And they react by answering, how have you loved us? Lord, show us your love. We don't see your love. We don't feel your love. We don't know what you're talking about. And we'll talk about the character of love as God has made statement to these people of Judah. That everything we will see in this book, everything which God will complain about in the book of Malachi, he will complain it in the basis of love, because his love towards his people. It's not because he hates them, it's not because he just loves to complain. God will make complaints. God will complain to these people because he loves them, as he says the first statement he makes here. For us to be helped, we're going to look at 3 points. I've made 3 points which we will discuss. The first point will be the love of God that chooses, the love which picks, the love which elects, the love which chooses. Number two, love which endures, or love which lasts. It's not a short-term love, it is everlasting love. And number three will be the manifestation of that love to the people. Number one then, love which chooses. If we read Malachi verse 2, we see God is making a case here. He's talking about his sovereign election, how he chose Jacob and rejected Esau. God makes it clear that I chose you. I chose you. I am God who loves you, and my love is a choice. It's not just a blind love. It's not just a vague love. He says that he chose them. He chose people. If we turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis 25:19-23. We will see the reference which God refers here. Genesis, that is the first of the book. We see what God is referring here by talking about Jacob and Esau. This is what Genesis says. Genesis 25:19. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan. Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." God is referring to this, which happened 1,400 years before the time Malachi is writing this book to people of Israel. God blessed Rebecca with the twins. And God is making a statement here that before they were even born, I chose one and I rejected one. And in this case is that God even chose the younger and rejected the older. God makes it clear here that I love you, and that love which I made, I chose who I lacked to choose. God committed to Jacob, as we know. He committed to them by protecting them, by providing for them, by disciplining them. And God blessed even the people of Israel. That is where we get Israel today, is because later on the name of Jacob was changed to Israel by God. Two nations were in the womb. One was accepted by God and one was rejected by God before they were even born. The Bible doesn't even tell us the sin of Esau, like Esau committed sin while he was in the womb. But God showed his love to one, to the younger, and rejected the older one. And God is reminding people of Israel. We know for sure that that Esau's descendants, the Edomites, they grew as well. They were a strong nation, but they collapsed, and they tried to rebuild. They collapsed, they tried to rebuild. God is even referring to it that they may try to rebuild, but I will destroy. And for the matter of fact, we know that the Edomites have disappeared and have disappeared from the face of the earth. No one knows where the Edomites, the Esau's descendants, are. No one knows where they are. God had a love which chose one and reject the other one. Today, we hear people talking about love of God, but God is love. God who loves. They think that because God loves, everything goes. They think that when God loves, it's just vague love. But we see here, God makes it clear that I have a love. I have loved you people because I chose you. So love which chooses. As I said again, for the rest of the book, everything God will complain about, he will complain about it in love. Everything he will say to God and to his people in this book will say them in love. God's love is in his choice. He shows that love by choosing. It's not based on your good deeds. It's not based on your effort. It's not based on any merits. That because I've done this, because I've achieved this, God must love me. Or God loved me because I did this. No, it's not that way. As he says here, as we saw the reference God is referring to, God love has a choice. He has a choice, a love which chooses who he wants to choose from. And something we can learn about this choice is that God's choice is sovereign. God's choice is sovereign. It's like a king who has made a choice in his palace. He has said a final thought. I've made this choice and it is sovereign. No one can change it. No one can manipulate it. No one can modify it. God's choice is sovereign, as he says here in the book of Malachi. He chose Jacob over Esau. Could you change that? Could I change that? Could we change that? No. God's choice is sovereign. And second point about this choice of God, it is unconditional. God chooses whoever he wants to choose. We don't read in the book of Malachi or Genesis that Israel had to do preconditions. There was something Israel had to do for God to love them. There was no rule book that if you do this, then I will love you. God loved them without any precondition. God's love, or God's choice is unconditional. We can apply it to ourselves. You are Christian today. You are a child of God today. What did you do for you to become a child of God? What did you do? What did you bring? What were the preconditions God gave you before he saved you? Nothing. He picked you. You hated him. You were maybe running away. He picked you. He chose you. He washed you. Today, you are among God's people today. Today, you are listening to God's word. Today, you love God's people. There's nothing you came with. There was no preconditions to God's love or to God's choice. As Israel was, God picked up them. The same way you and I, God picked up us without us having anything to bring. We have nothing to bring. You may be sitting here thinking that how come that Israel were loved so much like this by God? How could they do this? How could they reject God? How could they question God's love? After what we read in the Bible, how God chose them, how God did this. But we are all guilty of that. You and I are guilty of this as well. We sometimes feel love of God is far away. We question God's love. We think God doesn't love us. We think it's not true that God loves us. It could be you going through some situations, some troubles. And all that you see is the big problem, your troubles. You don't see the love of God. You read the word of God, God loves you, I love my people. Now, God, I don't feel that love now. I don't see it now. You may not say it, but in your thoughts, you may be thinking that God doesn't love you. You don't feel that love. You don't see that love. You don't know what that love it is. It could be that God is disciplining you in any ways. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to one lady. She was, first of all, questioning our belief of God's election, that God elects, as the Bible said. But God is love. How can he not choose everybody? God is love. God is love. Why is he not choosing everybody? Why are others, some go to hell and some he chooses? And then I just kept quiet and said, do you know that God is just as well? Do you know that God is sovereign as well? Do you know that God is a judge as well? Do you know that God is almighty? He decides everything. She was like, I have a little bit of problem of you Calvinists, because you see God as sovereign in everything. He's big in everything. Man has nothing to do. I said, yeah, that's what the Bible teaches. And then the second question was like, if God loves as it is love, why you Calvinists think that sufferings and pain is good for Christians? If God is love, why is he not protecting? Why is he not only blessing his people? Why do you go through pains? I looked at him and I said that if you read book of Romans, you say what suffering produces. It produces hope, character, endurance. And God put those sufferings in our lives to train us. It does all those things out of his love. Out of his love. People of Israel forgot the love of God sometimes. They didn't think God loved them. And this is what you and I are also guilty of. We don't feel the love of God, or we think God doesn't love us. We see our problems are bigger than the love of God. God's love towards you and I goes beyond even the foundation of the world. It's not just it happens now and then because you did something good, then God loves you. It's not only the time when you became a Christian. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:4, it says that just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before the foundations of the world, as Ephesians 1:4 says, God showed his love to us. So God's love is not only in that time, or when you did something good, then God loves you. It comes even before the foundations of the world, as the word of God says. He chose in love, not because of your effort or my effort, not because of your merit. Because if it's because of your merit, you will boast. There is something to boast about, that I did this, that's why God loves me. I did this because that's why God loves me. Or I did this because of my good intentions, that's why God loves me. He loves you, or he chose you just by his grace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first character of the love of God. He chooses. And his choice is sovereign. His choice is unconditional. We have to remember that time after time when we think about love of God. God is reminding people of Israel. You can read in book of Deuteronomy 7, reminds of these people of Israel here. He's telling them about his sovereign election or divine election, why he chose them. Deuteronomy 7. 6-8. Femte Mose book. He says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples of the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he saw to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." God is reminding his people why he chose them. God is reminding you and I why he chose you. It's not because you are the one deserving it more than others. It's not because you had something better, some good characters, or some good merits that he chose you, as he did with people of Israel. They were not the strongest. They were not the one who were more. They were not great in numbers. God chose them out of his love. We must remember this. We are God's people. God's love toward us is not because of what we have done. It's not what because of what we did or what we will do. He chose us out of his own will, out of his own plans and purposes. And he loves us that way. All God's people, all elect of people, all Christians, genuine Christians, God has loved them, not because of anything they came with. This contradicts the teaching which is outside there. People think they can come and please God, or they can do some deeds. They can come to God with their own righteousness, and God is going to accept them. We see it even in churches. People forget about the love of God. You have troubles in family. You have troubles in marriage. You have troubles at work. You have troubles with yourself. You are sick or something happens. The first thing you try to do is to doubt the love of God. Let me tell you, don't doubt the love of God. Don't think that because you're going through a tough time, God doesn't love you. No. He loved you before the foundation of the world. And there's nothing you brought for him to love you. As Christians, let us remember this. Let us remember this. Because otherwise we'll be wandering around as people do. Small problems go, they question the love of God, and they try to think of other stuff they can do for them to feel loved. God loves us, and he chose you and I because he wishes to do it. There's nothing we can bring to add to his love to us. Love which chooses. Second point, the love that endures. That means love which lasts, everlasting love. God's love is everlasting. God's love towards his people lasts. It's not a short-term love. It's not a love that you did something and then he doesn't love you anymore. Oh, you have to go to him time after time. Oh, do you still love me? Do you still love me? Or can I do this? Can I do this? Can I do this for you to love me? No. God's love lasts forever. He chose you among all the people. He called you among all the people. He made you a Christian out of all the people. He gave you a new heart out of all the people. He has a plan for you. You are redeemed. You are justified. Your eternal journey is until you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will spend the rest of your life, your time with him, worshiping him. It's a long-term love. It's not a love which fades. You know, a couple of years ago, I spoke to a guy who's a leader in a charismatic church. I asked him, "How are you doing?" He said, "Yeah, no, I'm feeling fine." "What happened?" "Yeah, it was like, well, for a couple of days, I've not been feeling that God loved me." "Why?" "Because I was not praying. Because I was not reading my Bible as I should do. But something happened. I went to the conference. And then God spoke to me and told me that he still loves me." I looked at him and was like, "Okay. So you felt that God didn't love you because you didn't read your Bible. God didn't love you because you didn't pray. You had to go to the conference to be told that God still loves you. But the base of Christian faith is that God loves us. It's not dependent on what we do. It's not dependent on what other people say of us. God's love lasts forever. It doesn't change, or God doesn't turn his face from us because we haven't done things. It lasts forever. And the word love is both noun and verb. John says that God is love. That is noun. God is love. And then Malachi uses the word here as a verb, that God loves his people. Action, that he loves his people. As Christian, people will always tell us that God is love. God is love. And we have to remember them that we have to have that balance. God loves. And is also love. So if we just use the word God is love, it may be vague in a way. God loves, that means he's active in what he's doing. He loves, he loved, he continues to love. And it's not just ending there. In this generation we live in, love has been taken captive or hijacked by people. We know about love from internet. We know about love from TV. We know about love from our own imagination, from our traditions and cultures. Tina Turner sang a song, "What Has It to Do with Love?" You see how she's like, yeah, she remembers. What has it to do with love? And people will give definition of love as second-hand emotions. People will tell you, what is love? It's just second-hand emotions. And that's what many people would think. Even when they think about love of God, they think in that same way, it's second-hand emotions. But is that love of God? That's not what love of God is. Love of God is not an emotion. It's not second-hand emotion. God's love towards his people is a commitment over a long war to do everything or anything that is necessary to secure the relationship with him. It's a long-term commitment. That's why when we get married, we have to make a vow, say that until death separates us, because what happens after death, we are not in control. The only thing which is big, which we can't have control of, is death. But when it comes. That's why we make that commitment. And God's love goes even beyond death. It's everlasting. It goes all the way. God will do everything or anything so that we have that relationship with him. In our case, sin is the biggest problem. We have biggest problem which can taint our relationship with God. Sin brings guilt. Sin brings pain in our lives. But God is committed to this, cause that his relationship between you and him shall always be perfect. That's why he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born of a Virgin Mary. Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life. Jesus Christ, who went to the cross. He was dead and crucified. But the Bible tells us that he rose again from the dead. Now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. And one day the Bible tells us he will return to judge the living and the dead in righteousness. And creation jumps in joy because of this prospect that Christ is coming back to reign again as a king. God does all that it takes to show his commitment to our relationship with him. Any sin which is in your life, any sin which is in my life, any sin which is we think is big, God is committed to it, to take it off from our lives. If he's committed to take off the sin, what about small sicknesses, small problems you have? What can stop God from him taking it away from your life? God's love doesn't faint. We Christians, sometimes we forget about that. That's why we believe we behave in a way which is not different to people of the world. The people of the world don't know God. They don't have a relationship with him. When a small problem comes, they tremble, they panic. Some of them curse God. They think they have a right to God. And sometimes we Christians behave in the same way. When problems come in our lives, we forget about the love of God. And that is not a good thing. That's why God is reminding people of Malachi's time. I have loved you. I have loved you. And my love has not changed. My love has not fainted. My love has not become second-hand emotions. My love is commitment. Full-time commitment to your cause. I will do whatever it takes to maintain that relationship because I chose you. That is true for you and I, who are children of God. The love of God. The love of God. Christ went to the cross to pay for the biggest thing which separated you and I from God, sin. Today you are called daughter or son of God because of what Christ did. God sacrificed his own son, sent him to die for you and I because he wanted us to have a life, a commitment with him and a relationship with him. If he sent his own son to die, what can stop him from him taking you over the situation you go through? It can be disease. It can be loneliness. It can be any trouble, persecution. Are those things bigger than the love of God? They are not. God is committed to take root of those sins in our lives. God is committed to take off all the obstacles which can come to in our lives. Persecutions, troubles, difficulties are just for a short-term thing. God's love doesn't change. We need to hear this, we Christians. We need to hear this because that changes our way of seeing things if we know love of God. If we know about the love of God, even when we don't feel it, even when we see just darkness, we have to remember Christ loves me. God loves me. He picked me. He chose me. He's committed to my cause for the rest of my life. There's nothing which can come and happen. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to you to change the love of God. There's nothing. God's love is full commitment to his people. And everything he says to you, he says it in context of love. If you are being rebuked, if you are being disciplined, as the Bible says that those are love I discipline. Those I love, I discipline. And he disciplines you in context of love. Because he's committed to your life. He's committed to my life. That's why we see here to the people of Israel, he didn't just keep quiet, he didn't just turn his face and chose another nation or chose another people. No, he committed to them. He disciplined them. He blessed them. He provided for them. He protected them. He did everything for them as good father does to his children. The love of God. God is committed to his people. For the richer, for the poor, for the better, for the worse, there's no end to his commitment. His love endures forever. Don't be shaken. Don't be troubled. Don't question the love of God for you if you are a child of God. God loves you. God loves you. We have to remember that. We have to remember that. We have to remember that. We have to hold to that, the love of God. And there is a warning here as I talk about love of God. Many times we think we talk about love of God and that means it's lawlessness. There's people of cheap grace who think that because I'm saved I can do anything I want. I can live anywhere I live. No, that's not what the Bible says. God's love is not lawlessness. Because if God's love was lawlessness, he was never going to complain about the people of Malachi's time. He loves them. That's why he wants them to live in a way he commands them to live. He wants them to live as children of God, not as children of Satan. So anyone who tells you that I am in Christ, I can live anyhow, God loves me, tell them that you don't understand the love of God. God has loved you. God has put his law in his heart. He has changed your heart. He has given you new desires. And you are wanting, you are willing to do his will. Not to do the will of the devil. By disobeying God. God's law, God's love, genuine love is not lawlessness. Second point about this, which God's love is not, God's love is not indulgence or permissiveness. That means you can do whatever you want to do. Anything goes. Anything goes because I'm in Christ, because God loves me. Anything goes. That's not how it is. Israel of old was not allowed to do anything they wanted to do. God came and spoke to them. And God will not keep quiet until you pay attention to what he wants to say to you, if you are a child of God. You might go and sin and indulge and enjoy the sin, but your conscience, the Holy Spirit which is in you, will not leave you at peace. He has put the law in our heart. We know the law of God. It is written in our heart. We know what is good and what is wrong. Our conscience works. He loves us. He wants us to live as his children. And how is this love shown or manifested to us? That's our third point. God's love chooses. God's love lasts forever. And how is it manifested to us? How can this good God, this eternal God, this pure, this holy God, love a sinner like you and I? Those are the questions we ask time after time. How can he love us? I am a sinner. I don't deserve it. Some of us, it could be that you are the only Christian in your whole family. No one is a Christian. How is it possible that only me of all the people, some of you think that I am not the most clever in my family. In my class, I was never the most brilliant guy. How could God love me that I was the most immoral guy in or girl in my school or in my youth or I never liked God? How does this God love me? How come that he loves me? The answer is found in John 3:16. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Out of love, God loves you, the sinner. If you are in Christ, you are not rotten as you were. You are made a new creature. You are justified. You are sanctified. God is doing the work of sanctification in your life. You are adopted. You are a child of God. You were heirs with Christ. Out of his love, he sent his Son to die for you. This love is manifested in God giving his own Son for your sin and my sin. This is what Paul writes in Romans 5:8. Let us read it. Romans 5:8. It shows how God demonstrated his love to us. He says, "But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the way God demonstrates his love towards you and I. The Bible doesn't say here that while you were still sinners, God commanded that you will kill a cow, or you will go and pray seven times, or you will go and do pilgrim hiking or wandering as it is, or you will go and do something different. You will go and take communion, or you will go and do stuff. No. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And he says, God demonstrates his love to you and I in that way. The love of God. The love of God. You're sitting here, think of love of God towards you. You, I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about you. See your own life. See your own life. Past life, the life you are living now, and the life you will live, think of it that it is all covered in love of God. It is secured in life, in love of God. We are not used to be told about love of God. We are not being told, used to be told about how good we are in God because of his love. We think always when we come to church, we reformed. You must be told, repent and believe. You must be told, read this book and do this and do this. No. Sometimes we forget about talking about the love of God. It's this love which brought you here to be among God's people. It's that love which found you when you were lost in your sin and trespasses, which washed you. It's that love which called you by name, put you among God's people, and said that you are mine until Christ comes back and you continue your life. My relationship with you, with me, is never ending. It's that love which makes you to be called a child of God. It's that love which gives you hope that when Christ returns, you will be like him. You will see him. You will sit with him. You will worship him forever. It's that love which took away the wrath of God from you. It's that love which gives you hope that you are living. Nothing in this world will take that love from God, because it is eternal love. It is love made before the foundation of the world. The love of God. We have to remember about it. The love which never ends. The love which cares. The love which provides The love which changes changes you or molds us and transforms us. The love which comforts us. The love which rebukes us when we are going astray. The love which gives us peace. The love of God for His people. Remember this love. Remember that you are loved by God. Forget about what is happening in your life. Remember the love of God. God is faithful. That is His character. He has loved us. Let us live. Let us show that love to us one another. This is everlasting love. It's not love which the husband tells to his wife only on the wedding day, "I love you." And for the rest of their life, he doesn't say that. It's not the love which a wife says, "I love you," and then that's it on the wedding day. It's a love which we say over and over, "I love you, I love you, I love you." And we do that love, we show that love to one another. We are committed to one another. It's love which we have to demonstrate to one another. Husband, show love to your wife. Wife, show love to your husband. Children, love your parents. And parents, show love to your children. We Christians here, we are a community of redeemed people. We are loved by God. We are commanded to love one another. Because He has loved us. Because He has loved us, we have to love one another. We have to love our family members. We have to love our neighbors. We have to love anyone we meet who says that they are Christians. We have to love them. We love people because God has loved us. If you are a Christian today, if you are a child of God today, rest in love of God. Rest in love of God. Rest in love of God. That love that picked you. That love which chose you. That love which washed you. Rest in it. Let us pray. God of love, we thank you. When we contemplate the love you show for your people. The love you showed by saving us. The love you showed by calling us your own. The love you showed by making peace with us. We, the rebel. Father, we thank you for this love towards us. We pray that, Lord, we may feel this love more and more. We may know this love more and more. Father, we may rest more and more in this love because you loved us. You loves us. Father, we pray for those who don't know this love. You will have mercy on them. Those who are still enemies of God, we pray that they will. You, God, will reach down to them and show them your love. Love which brings hope. Love which brings peace and joy. Love which gives eternal life. Father, we are so grateful for loving us. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.